Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
That is God. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are bigger than no matter what building we're in. God, you're bigger than the building we're in. You're bigger than where we meet, God. You can pass through screens. And I pray that right now, God, that your Holy Spirit would be in every individual home. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would change the atmosphere there. That what we say here in this building, this empty room, God, would just spark a fire in the people wherever they're listening from. We thank you for life. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for these guys up here. I pray you would anoint all of us, help us to think clearly, God, and to speak with clarity. We just love you. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for saying amen. So we're going to have a discussion tonight. I told you on Sunday that we're going to do part two of Get Your Hopes Up. We talked about, if you listened to the sermon, watched it, or if you were out there on the lawn with us this last Sunday, it is my belief, and I have a passion on my heart to encourage and inspire and re-spark the confidence, because we talked about the difference between hope and wishing. Hope, there's confidence in hope. In wishing, there is a lack of confidence. And I believe that myself can fall prey to this. I'm sure maybe some of you at home can relate that the fact that we've been forced to be enclosed indoors. I know Pastor Ron mentioned in his video, a lot of us have kind of taken a recline mode in our walks with God. Maybe we've lost some things. Maybe we've hit some trials, some bumps in the road. Some of you have lost your jobs, and therefore our hope and our confidence is waning because of that. Tonight, I'm going to continue this discussion with my friends here. We're going to talk about a few things, and I'm actually really excited about what we're going to talk about. But let me introduce everybody that we have here with us, and we'll start over here with you, Tom. Tom is our high school pastor here for the East Side campus. We've done ministry for a super long time together, right?
I think it's been 10 years.
Yeah, we've been staring at each other for 10 years.
It's been a long time, yeah.
Next to him is Gennaro. Gennaro leads the high school group at our CSUB campus. Also, he is here on Wednesdays helping out in the high school here. And then over here to my left, your right, is Justin. I'm going to call you Justin. I got to get out of the J2 mode because I feel like you're not J2 anymore.
I've grown up.
You've grown up. Right?
People actually think that your name is J2.
That's on your birth certificate.
That was me. I thought your name was J2 up until like last week.
But what happened was we actually had like five Justins at around us at one point, and so we had to unfortunately start naming them J1, 2, 3, 4. We had up to six, I think. Five or six, and you were that's how we got J2. So a little fun fact
fun
for you.
Fun fact, when little people would ask me fact. What that name meant, I would say it was African. It was J2. I would say that to them with a straight face in college group. And people go, okay, cool, man, and just walk away.
I had no idea.
And just so you guys know, this is live and this is raw. My notes were on my phone, and because I'm a good pastor, I left my phone backstage so I wouldn't be on social media out here during service. So anybody that can hear the sound of my voice backstage, my phone is in my backpack. And while we continue to do that, I'm going to continue to announce you guys, because I just realized all the questions and all my notes are on my phone. I tried to be a part of this digital age, but I'm sure someone will come out here again. My phone is in my backpack. If you bring that to me as quick as you can. But Tom, you're about to have your second kid.
I am.
And how does that feel?
It is, honestly, it's surreal. It's surreal. I'm having a son, and I've got a daughter that's 3 years old. She will be leading worship here at the church. Not too sure what my son's going to do yet, but there is a calling on my kids' lives.
Thank you, Josh.
And I'm excited for what's going to happen. My wife is, she's almost there, man, and it's going to be exciting. Shane, you have three kids. J2
has three kids.
Shane has three kids.
I'm married.
Gennaro just got married. So you know where everybody's at. We have responsibilities at home, and we know all about the stress of being on lockdown with kids.
And being creative.
Being creative. Except for Gennaro, you'll get the kids sooner or later. No rush. But I want to start out tonight because, again, we're talking about hope and the lack of hope. Right, that we have, or how do we get our hope back? We're going to discuss a few questions, and we talked about this earlier today, and we had some good things to talk about. But my first question, and I'm going to start with you, Tom, just because I don't want to pick favorites here, but I've just known you the longest. But the first question I want to ask is, who or what have you put your hopes in that has let you down? It could be a thing that you put your hopes in. It could be a person that you put your hopes in that has let you down in the past.
So basically, during this whole lockdown quarantine, it's really motivated me to pray more and take more authority over things that I kind of just... It was summed up in the group of God, take care of my family. I started getting more specific about that. And honestly, what I realized probably about 2 months ago is that I put a lot of my hope in the expectations of the prayers that I was praying. So what I mean by that is, like, I would pray and just assume that everything that I had told God to do or to help me out with, he was going to do because I'm his son or I'm his kid or I'm a believer. And I had some, I'm optimistic and I shoot for the moon, and I more or less had these hopes in expectations that God was going to answer these particular things in this specific way, and I just kept my eyes open that this was how it was going to happen, and it let me down. Like, there were moments in my life where I had no idea that certain things were going on in my family that were going on. Mm-hmm. And I have come around to see after months, you know, we've been here for months, and I see that this uncomfortable road in my life, this situation that we were going through was so necessary, but it was nothing like the way that I was praying that mm-hmm. it was going to go. I wanted things to happen miraculously. I wanted things to change. I was praying for dreams. I was praying for situations, for cars to break down. I was praying for things. Not one of those things happened.
And I believe that this is something, when you were talking about this earlier, I was like, this is huge. Because I think a lot of people have lost confidence and hope in God over what they think are unanswered prayers. And so they're like, I don't have any faith or confidence in God or maybe in praying because the prayers that I prayed didn't come true or God didn't come true. When in actuality, when we were talking earlier, it was like our expectations are not God's expectations, right? It says in the word that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. If you look at it this way, think about all the prayers that we've prayed that we probably are grateful for later, or we will be grateful for if we can see like this overarching view of our life when we get to heaven. We're like, thank you, Lord, for not giving me that. Or thank you, Lord, that you had something else planned in mind, even though I was like losing faith and you were probably trying to get a hold of me going like, just hold on tight. Please have faith, hope, confidence in me that just because it's not answered in this certain way.
And there were times like legitimately like crying out to God, like legitimately tears. And I thought, oh, those are good prayers. Those ones are going to move God because I'm crying. You know, like I thought they were really going to like make a deeper impact. And essentially they did. But like I said, I had these expectations and I can't say that I fully put, I put a lot of hope in the expectations and not just God, you love me. You love these people. And you are going to do what's best for us. I didn't have that. It wasn't my focus. I wanted it to go a particular way.
Right, and think about this picture, and you guys jump in at any time. This is the perfect picture of this is what Abraham did, right? He got this promise from God.
Yeah.
And because he expected it to look a certain way or be a certain way, he got impatient. And then here comes Ishmael.
Yeah.
Right? And there's probably a lot of hurt, a lot of stress, a lot of stuff that didn't need to happen, but because his expectations were different when he was praying, he wanted, you know, right away. Okay, God, you know, and how often do we get that? We want it right here when God is
God. It reminds me of when, this is one of the early lessons I learned in ministry, when you pray for something like patience, and you think that you're just going to, now I have patience. Yeah. But no, when you pray for patience, that whole entire week, God's going to put you in situations where you're behind the slowest person in the fast lane.
Yeah,
He's
going
to put
right.
you in situations where a lady pulls out the checkbook while you're at the store,
yeah.
and you have to practice patience.
Yeah.
And when you it's so often we can think that God's just going to answer our prayers miraculously like a genie, when really he wants to walk us through things and teach us things. And it's rarely the way we can think of. If God was going to respond in the way we can think of, he wouldn't have a need to be a God. Mm-hmm. God is much bigger, greater than anything we can think of. So therefore, when we pray for something and ask for something, he's going to show up in ways that we couldn't imagine. But I think that's what gives us that hope. That's what's exciting mm-hmm. about Jesus, that he can we don't know how he's going to show up, but he's going to.
And mm-hmm. I know that Gennaro has a story about this, but it always seems like that a lot of stories, God waits to like the last second when it comes to like money.
Yes.
You know, it's always the last second, like the bill is due in 10 seconds or everything is mm-hmm. destroyed, you know, but I don't mm-hmm. want to take, I don't want to take anything, but yeah, I know you have a story
but
about that.
Just listening to that, Pastor Tom Touchstone, I mean, growing up in the church, like one of the things he would say is God's timing is never early. And I would always be like, man, it's so true, though, because being in those situations, you're like, all right, it's going to happen now. And sometimes you do take that step, and then you're just like, oh, man, I messed up. I should have waited. And now right. there's all this unnecessary damage that happened. But for me, I mean, answering that second question, my hope has, you know, with being a newlywed, I think finances for me have been not necessarily a big issue, but it's been robbing me of my joy, if I can be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had that fear growing up of not being able to provide for my family. That was the biggest fear that I had. And so now being married, you know, there were, you know, bills and, you know, toilet paper doesn't regenerate anymore. You know, like there's just random things that you have to pay for. And that stuff adds up on top of gas and, you know, food. And so I got to a point where I had more hope in money than I did God. And this was recently, you know, just a few weeks ago. I ended up, you know, I had that conviction. So I told Allie, I was like, hey, you know, I need to have coffee with you. Let's go to Cafe Smith and let's talk. And so, you know, I sat down and I mean, it's only a few months in and I already had to have, you know, the money conversation. And so my heart's racing, I'm nervous, but I end up telling her, hey, you know what? To be honest, based on what's on, like in my bank account, is where my emotions are. So if I'm low in my bank account, I'm stressed out. I have fear. I have worry. And that's where...
That's everybody, man. You know, I think that's like, oh, man, all guys, for sure.
So that's...
Absolutely.
And that's where I was. I had this fear and this stress and this worry. So anyways, I'm sitting there, and my wife, she just gives it to me straight. And she's like, hey, well, we got to pray about this. She prayed for me. And we were just like, from here on out, we're going to put our hope in God. We're going to trust that God is going to come through and not put our hope in our finances. And the next day, I have this app on OfferUp, and I get hit up from this guy. He was like, hey, do you want to buy your side steps for $300? It's the most anyone ever offered me. I'm excited. I'm like, this is $300. Like, this is from God. And so I go to meet up with him, but I stop at my mom's house. I pick up some mail, drive over to meet this guy. And on the way over there, I hear God tell me to give him the side steps. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, that's $300. You know, like, there's no way. Like, God, we just prayed about this. And it was, I heard God say, you know, it wasn't to prove to him, but it was to prove to myself that money wasn't my God, that my hope wasn't in my money. Like we were saying earlier about the patience, you know, like I had to practice it. God gave me an opportunity and this was it. And so I drive up there, meet up with the guy. The guy has the cash in his hand. So I almost said like, psych, you know, and grabbed it. But I was like, you know what? I followed through and I ended up, you know, telling him, hey, this is from God. We had a cool conversation. He actually knows someone from the church. And I take off after I give him the side steps. I'm still in shock because I'm like, I can't believe I did it, but I had so much peace and joy, which was so weird. And as I'm in the Chase parking lot, I had mail from my mom's house, and in that mail, there was a $300 check from my old auto refinancing company that I had no idea I was going to receive that. It was a reimbursement. I completely forgot about it. And it was one of those things where it was like, God showing me, when you put your trust and your hope in me, I'm going to take care of you.
For the exact amount. It's time to get your stinking hopes up. I feel like a motivational speaker, but when I hear that stuff, it gets my confidence up in God, sure. Hearing God move like that in your life. But it does. It takes us stepping out. What about you, J2?
So we discussed this a little bit earlier, and for mine, I was weary in saying it because I'm just going to put it out there. Where I put my hope in was the church, and this isn't a church bashing thing. This was, I found identity in serving the Lord. I found identity in coming to church. I found healing at a church by people, great people like Shane, Pastor Ron, great people who poured into me. And my faith started relying on that, on them. If I was serving, my walk with God was good, especially in the early part of my relationship with God. If I'm serving, if I'm in church, I'm good. Soon as I'm not away, soon as I miss a college group day, there I am back struggling again. And it's because I made church God. And I say this now because I'm seeing it come around full circle, because I'm over the junior high ministry and I see kids who their only church was getting a lesson through me or coming to our events. And other than that, the walk with God was missing. And I go, they're going through the same thing I went through. Their hope was in the church. And when the church is stripped from you, your walk with God can then be stripped. But when your faith and your hope is based on Jesus and the relationship with him, it can never be stripped away. And that's why I've been on this. If anyone's been watching the junior high videos, they know I've been on a tirade about your walk with God, your relationship with him is where it's most important. Because I think a lot of you guys out there can relate when the church lets you down. Because I remember the first time I saw like someone I admired like say a bad word or just let me down. They finally didn't answer my phone call for once. I'm like, forget church. These people are fake. They're hypocrites. Yeah. And it's so easy to let that become bitterness and get mad at the church when the church was never God in the first place. They didn't have to be perfect. It's Jesus who already lived that perfect life. And mm-hmm. Here I am trying to look at a man or a person or a building to be perfect when Jesus was already the perfect example. So I had to start learning that my hope can't be in the church. And I say that because this is for all of us. Our hope can't be in this building. As you see, some things have changed and we have had to make church go outside. But more importantly, church is at home now. Church, mm-hmm. Your church is every day that you wake mm-hmm. up and you get in your word and you pray with your kids. Church is, you have to take God with you. And yes, our building is here for you guys. But know what our building is here for? It's to give you guys a place to get to know Jesus.
Amen.
Give you guys a place to come and worship Jesus. And when I learned to stop putting my hope in the church and put it in Jesus, I love the church more. That's what's crazy about this, is once you do that, Jesus shows you all the good about church and you stop looking at the bad of church. Isn't that crazy?
Absolutely. And I felt like that was such an important thing to share, because I do feel like, and what we're not saying is don't rely on the church. It's just your number one, your hope, your confidence, what's going to keep you driving forward has to be God. It can't be anything else that drives you. God's got to be where your confidence lies, because people, organizations, no matter if it's a church or a job or a bank, are going to let you down. And if our confidence is solid on these things and not on God, we're going to find ourselves just in a hurricane of emotions, right?
Yeah, and I want to clear this up too, because there's also times where we get to where we say, yeah, it's a relationship with Jesus, so therefore I don't need the church. When you get into a relationship with Jesus, the first thing he's going to tell you to do is go fellowship with believers, go to church. Yeah, so that's not an excuse. Yeah. Jesus leads us to fellowship. He leads us to our church. He leads us to these things. But what we're saying is you got to put him first or you won't do that. Mm-hmm. It was foolish of me to think that I could just keep serving and keep going to church and not have that relationship with God outside of this place. Mm-hmm. That's foolish. Just foolish thinking. And once I got that together, I just saw my life start to change. And I hope the junior hires for one, and I hope everyone out there, you guys get that relationship with God and he'll lead you.
And to take that to I know you might want to make this point a little later, but the reason why I mean, you guys are up here is because my heart is for everybody that is a VBFer. I understand. I started in the youth. I started in the junior high. I moved to high school, moved to college group, and now I'm here. But you guys keep my fire lit. If I didn't have the people around me at church to continue to push me towards God, right? So that's the thing, is the church is there to help push us towards focusing on God, our relationship. But that's why it's so vital. You guys, honestly, if I isolated myself, which we're all having a little bit of isolation right now, to the comfort of my own home, and I didn't hang around people that were filled with hope and confidence in God, I could find myself easily being in a hopeless place.
Well, I think everybody, for me personally at this table, I've needed in times of heartache, in times of distress, in times of talking me off ledges, you know what I mean? Like, there's been a lot of, like, but I have not gone to just J2 or just Shane or just Gennaro. Like, there are certain people that I'm like, this is because I have this group of people around me over 10 years, right? It's been an investment. It's been a struggle for that. Like, you know, having those people, I just don't tell everybody, but that is also the beauty of church. You get to these moments where you're weak or you're hurting or you're tired and you're just like, hey, can almost like a baton in a race, like, can you please take this from here? Like, I'm done. I can't pray anymore. I can't read the Bible anymore. Like, I'm hurting and I need some help.
And you find that by going to the church. So I'm saying it. I don't know why I'm hanging on this. Some of you guys don't think you have to be at church. You don't have to be in the building. You get here in fellowship with like-minded people who are searching after the same God, who have a hope when sometimes you're hopeless. And sometimes you're the person that has hope and someone else is hopeless. And the church is where you can gather and run into these people. Like, we can't forsake what the church is, but we can't put all of our hope in it. Our hope is in the Jesus who is running, who is master, who is God over this church.
Yeah.
And I don't know how people feel about this being, and Carissa always gets a little upset with me for being a little too transparent, and I believe that she's right a lot of the times. So, you know, I can be candid.
But
just
coming.
Us having this conversation, right? For me, that's what gave me hope, like, with as far as that I could have a relationship with God, was going in and seeing Pastor Ron and him being transparent that he didn't have it all together. I said it a couple months ago, but I said, how many would feel more comfortable confessing your sins to somebody outside the church than you would inside the church? Yeah. And I think that it's all of our hearts. Not that we need to have a fat confession party, you know, every Sunday where we're all just throwing up on each other. But the idea that when we come here, if we're too ashamed of what we've done or that people are going to judge us here, then we can't get inspired, motivated, stoked here by other people, or we can't stoke, motivate, or inspire other people. So that's our heart up here, is to head in that direction.
See, I might be true. I'm going to be too transparent right now, but it needs to be said. These are the things that helped me when I was sitting out there. When at the beginning of college group times, I remember this is when I was a youngster, just getting in ministry. Shane was over college group, and
don't make me sound old.
Well, yeah, you're getting
also youngster.
But I would go to college group, let's say for 3 months straight, and then a friend would invite me out to a party or something, and I would disappear. You know that I would disappear for like another 3 months. And I remember what the devil would tell me: don't go back. He's going to know what you were doing. And I looked up to Shane. He was that church idol for me. I was like, oh, I don't want him to know. And I'm like, they're going to know I'm a sinner. They're going to know I'm this and that. And I literally come back, and I remember finally getting the boldness to walk through the door, and Shane goes, I missed you, man. I missed you, man. We got to get you out there handing out cards, getting college groupers here. And like, he invited me to do something for the church. And I'm like, here I am thinking this dude's going to shun me, that the church is going to shun me because of how I've been living. And I come here and receive love. And that's, hope is in the church. So as I said, I put my fake hope in the church. This is the place where Jesus dwells and hope lives within him.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to this next question. What, is there any scripture or scriptures? Because we want to equip. Give something to equip, right? Like, so if I'm at my home and I don't have people, and we're a part of the coronavirus, so we're in this whole thing where we can't necessarily be close to everybody we would like to.
Right.
I'm a person at home. Maybe I need some equipping. What is a verse, a scripture, story in the Bible, person in the Bible that is like refreshes your hope in Christ?
So Pastor Josh Vietti spoke a few Sundays ago, and he was talking about the love of Jesus, and he named, you know, some characters in the Bible, like, you know, Abraham and, you know, Jacob and Moses and, you know, Job. And once he said Job, I resonated well with this because you guys know my dad passed away 2 Sundays ago. And, you know, I was kind of going into Job's story, and he lost family members. And the reality is, though, with every single one of these guys in, you know, the season that they were in the challenge, in the hurt, in the pain, they remained faithful. They had their hope in Jesus. They trusted in Jesus. And because of that, they were able to overcome these, you know, crazy situations. And in the same sense, I'm sitting here going, man, like, I need to have that faith. I need to have that hope in Jesus in the midst of all that. And what hope does for me and what I've learned through these scriptures is when I put my hope in God, it helps me in situations that seem impossible to get through in the moment and makes them possible. Mm. And that was, for me, that was my driving force, and on top of, you know, the community. But now I'm seeing, I mean, it's so fresh, but I'm already seeing, you know, all of these blessings and the church and the community. I'm going, man, this, like, God is just too good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Something like a piece of scripture I'll never forget. I was on Stockdale Highway crossing Gosford. And right around there is when I heard God tell me that basically I'm similar to Daniel living in this time, similar to Daniel living when he did. And for those, just to remind you, Daniel was a God-fearing man who was forced into living in a community that was not God-fearing. He lived in the Babylonian Empire. And when he was really young, he was brought up in the teachings of the Babylonians. And he never lost his relationship with God. He never stopped doing what he was told to do as far as the rituals and living and all this stuff. And to the point there was even a diet that the king tried to impose on Daniel and all the men that were like Daniel. And Daniel, he didn't fight, he didn't kick back, he didn't go with what the king told him to do. He in his time spent with God, comes to a place where he has a response, and he says, I am not going to eat this food, but test the diet that my God has put me on, and I'm going to eat this way and test me. If at the end of this particular amount of time, we are not better, then, you know, we'll switch and we'll do whatever. And it was just such a creative response to something that he was being forced and told that he needed to do. And I kind of feel like that's where we are. Well, the way that we're meeting right now, we are forced to be in a situation that is not normal. And we love gathering as a community to worship and to pray. Like, that's one thing that's been such a hard hit, is we're not able to physically lay hands on people and pray and be in a community of thousands and where we're worshiping. But still, we can gain our wisdom from God and make the most out of these situations. Mm-hmm. And that's what I kind of felt like God was saying, is that we can be Daniel in this time, and we can be people who still worship him, that can still love him, can still show that love and honor, while also being in a situation that we're not the most comfortable in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it was funny because when we talked about this, my story lines right up with Tom's. It was Daniel in the lion's den, but what stood out is Daniel gets tossed in this lion's den. First, when he gets tossed in, the king, the person throwing him in, literally tells him, says, "Surely the God that you serve will rescue you." And of course, Daniel's assured of this by love, but the person throwing him in jail wakes up, well, in the den, wakes up the next day, eagerly runs to see if God has shown up and did exactly what he thought God could do. This is not Daniel's faith. This is the faith of the person throwing Daniel in there. From watching Daniel, faith was built. And I say that because there's a hope for whatever situation we're in. This man, Daniel, was thrown into a lion's den, and he knew he was going to be okay. He knew his God was going to show up. So as we go through this, as we go through this COVID season, as bank accounts shrink, as relationships get rocky, as we start getting loneliness, as things start creeping in, it's important to go back to these Bible stories and going, oh, yeah, if they hung on to hope there, I can hang on to hope here. And what, when Peter calls out that we have a living hope in Jesus Christ, that word means eagerly waiting in excitement, eagerly waiting, anticipating what's to come. That's what faith is, when you're eagerly waiting. And I see that in the Daniel story, because the king comes down running. Let's see if Daniel's alive. If right now, in today's world, if you throw someone in the lion's den, common sense doesn't say, let's go check and see if he's alive when you go check the lion's den. Right. You're going to think he was taken out.
Yeah.
But there was a faith. There's an eager expectation for God to show up. Daniel knew, the king knew, that Daniel was going to be just fine. And that's what I think that's what we're trying to get across. And even this discussion, COVID looks scary, but guess what? God is bigger. He's going to show up. Surely, as that verse says, surely the God that you serve will rescue you. He's going to get us out. I don't know when, but we can't wait till God gets us out to start serving him. Daniel stood in that lion's den knowing that God was going to get him out and continue being who he was supposed to be.
Because we can still pray for people right now. We can still do outreach for people right now. We can still do little things for people in this season and not break any of the government's rules. Mm-hmm. Yep. We can still move in the direction that Jesus has called us to and still be respectful for people. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, if God calls you to go pray for somebody, put your mask on and go pray for somebody.
Exactly.
You know, like we need to be the kinds of people that we are listening to God and we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And especially in this time, we need the creativity of our Creator to get us into those positions. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's just, we can't think of these ideas mm-hmm. on our own. We can't.
Yeah. And I was thinking from the thing that the verse or the go-to is, I'm always a person that's really hard on myself when it comes to messing up or falling short. I beat myself up more than probably anybody else would beat myself up. And I briefly talked about this Sunday, but I thought like to myself that everybody in this pandemic probably, you know, the shame and condemnation is setting in on a lot of them because they've stopped being in their devotions. Maybe they picked up drinking a little bit. Maybe they've found themselves going back to their old ways a little bit. They've shrunk back. And I want to let you know that you're definitely not alone, but I also want to give you the confidence. And it's this, and I know I've shared it in a couple sermons here, but it's that story of Peter after he denies Christ, right? Yeah. He's ashamed. He's filled with condemnation and he's shrunk back and gone to doing what he did before, right?
Yeah.
And it's like this place where he is almost as if he's gone in relaxed mode. He's gone like thrown his hands up like I just have no effort, no confidence, no hope, no anything, where a lot of us are at. And what's crazy is the picture of what Jesus does is Jesus comes in to find him. Jesus comes
to
find him.
Sure. Yeah, that's right.
He makes sure
go tell
to come.
Peter.
Yeah. He comes to find Peter to make it. And I believe that this is in the scripture for our hope, to build us hope, because it says our hope is in the word, right? Every part of it, our hope is in the word. To show this picture, if you're that type of person that's lost confidence or hope in God, in the side of where maybe you don't think his forgiveness is for you anymore, mercy is for you anymore, he is for you anymore, I encourage you to read it. And I was sharing the story with a friend earlier today. I believe it's in John 21. You can find the story. I'm not one of those people that knows every scripture in the Bible. So John 21, I believe, is where the story is. John 20 or 21, look this up. And I encourage you to see the heart of the God that we serve as he comes and finds us to restore our confidence. Because what does he tell Peter? He says, Peter, do you love me? And it wasn't so much him asking Peter if he loved him. It was Jesus saying, I still love you. I still love you, whether you think I do or not. I want to let you know that I still love you. And I find so much hope in that. It gives me hope because Peter was a way bigger screw up than I probably ever could be.
He literally went right back to where Jesus found him. Like how many of us, like, you can say, like, oh, my life is the exact same as it was before Jesus found me. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never personally been there. I've been down that road getting there. But I've never fully reached it. Jesus went, or Peter went right back to it.
Yeah.
Which is just so crazy. That's such a good point. Like he said, like, do you love me? Like, I got the love for you, Peter, but is it coming back to me though? That's mm-hmm. a good point.
Are you ready to have this relationship again? Because I never wanted to stop.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It is amazing. So we're running short on time here. Yeah. So I want to highlight what you guys are doing in the youth. The question was, what are some creative ways that we can spread hope, spread the gospel, love on people during this quarantine, right? You hit on it a little bit, but you guys in the youth are doing something that's pretty creative. And we have a slide for those of you that are at home. So tell them what this is about and how they can contact you guys to get their kids involved with this, however that works.
Okay, so I'll start and I'll let Tom finish. It's a woke conference. It's for middle school, that's 6th, all the way up to high school, that's all the way up to 12th grade, you guys. It's a conference that we've put, I think everyone can attest, maximum effort into. 100% maximum effort. It's a conference that's online only, and it's meant to literally wake up your your youth students' spiritual walk. That is the whole thing. We've noticed, for one, that some kids have drifted, that some kids don't have the same walk that they once did have. And some kids have fallen into political issues, and they're seeing everything. They're seeing the same things you guys are seeing at home. They're watching TV. They're on Instagram. They're on Facebook. They see everyone going back and forth arguing. They want to be woke, is what we call at the conference, which is understanding everyone's side and trying to sympathize. But what we are going to be teaching them is to awaken that spirit. Mm. Awaken what's dormant within you. Awaken the Holy Spirit that you once knew, because a lot of these kids know Christ, and we want them to wake up and be world changers, be able to be students who can go out and preach the gospel. And we're not holding back in it. The worship's amazing. There's so much. I wish my kids were old enough so they could watch it. That's where I'm at, basically. So you can go to registerwoke.com and register your students, sixth grade all the way up to 12th grade. I'm telling you guys, it's worth it. It's going to do the task that we believe God told us. It's going to wake your kids up. It's going to wake your students up. If you want to do that, if you need help, parents, in waking that spirit and waking that child that you know is within your sons and your daughters, you need to send them to this. You need to make sure you register at registerwoke.com.
And yeah, parents, we believe in your kids, and we know that they are the future of the church. And we've been planning this for 9 weeks.
9 weeks.
We've been planning for 9 weeks. We have worship. We have recreation games for them. We have breakout sessions. We've got guest speakers. Summer camp is always a huge thing for us. Kids come back. We take over 100 kids, and we come back from the littlest ones all the way up to the seniors, and we come back, and there's a spark within our church, but we didn't get to have that this year. And so we wanted to step in. VBS did a great job for the little ones, and we're similar to that, kind of following in the footsteps. We're going to have a really great time. If you would register, parents, if you just want to contact us,
yes,
we would love to stay in contact with you, because we know that there is a little bit of a disconnect through social media. You can go to our church website, vbf.org, find J2, find myself, find Gennaro. You can message us. If you need materials to get your students involved, ideas on how to help your students. We are so limited because we either have their phone numbers or their Instagram, and we're connecting through there, but we would love to team up with you. If you want to join in with the Woke Conference, we would love for you to join us as well, because there is going to be an amazing worship. Mm-hmm. Amazing. The breakout sessions are going to be so good. We're talking about some very passionate and important topics.
Yeah.
And from there, we're hoping that it's going to start something that will expand and lead to future generations. And
yes.
So we would love for you guys to join us on that. You can go once again to registerwoke.com and register your students tonight.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for being up here with me, really. I think that you guys are incredible.
Thank you, man.
I think you guys have a fire and a passion that is infectious, and you're going to hopefully be seeing a lot of these guys over the weeks and months to come. I know J2 is speaking next Wednesday. This guy is passionate again. I love you, bro. I love all you guys.
Thank
so
you.
Let me pray this and hope you guys got something out of this evening. We want you to get your hopes up, and your hopes in the right place, though. Well, I'll pray this, and that is, God, take the message and do more with it than it would be otherwise. God, there's so many people out there that are looking for hope, and they're trying everything, and a lot of things are letting them down. God, may we be your extension to the people around us, God, to introduce them to the hope, to introduce them to Jesus. I pray, God, that you would give us all boldness. Give us boldness, God, and creativity during these times. I pray that we, even as adults, would be woke, that we would be awakened and revived and refreshed. God, I pray that you'd open our eyes to the opportunities around us this next week. We give you all the glory. We thank you for your grace and your mercy.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.